Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There is great meaning for us in Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Again we read in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Man not only can profit from his own experiences, but he who is wise can also profit from the experiences of others. And although many details of life may change through the years, man and his basic needs, as well as the principles of truth, remain essentially the same year after year. There are two equally erroneous concepts regarding the new and the old. Some have the idea that if something is new, it must be bad, and only the old is worthwhile. On the other hand, others have the opposite thought, that if something is new, it must be good. Our standard must be, however, if something is right according to God's word, it's good. Otherwise, it is bad. God has revealed to man his word, what is right and what is wrong, both in principles and in specifics. The Scriptures furnish us completely unto every good work, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. The psalmist said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Often God informs us of his will by revealing the lives of those who have lived before us and his evaluation of those lives. One necessity in serving God properly is to possess the right attitude of heart. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God wants man to have the right kind of spirit within him, the correct frame of mind and disposition. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 8. We're told to call on God out of a pure heart, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. In the Old Testament, we read of a man whose spirit, whose attitude was acceptable to God, and who is presented to us as an example to follow. The man of whom we speak was a man named Caleb. Now, I want us to consider six attitudes that he possessed that we would do well to imitate. First, let us become acquainted with Caleb. Caleb was an Israelite who lived during the crucial period of Israel's history. He was among those who were led by Moses out of Egyptian bondage. He spent some 40 years of his life with Israel in the wilderness, and he was involved in conquering the land of Canaan. He was one of the two men over 20 years of age that left Egypt that God permitted to enter the promised land. His successful entry was largely due to his attitude and how it was manifested by his words and his deeds. Oh yes, his life was hard, it was dangerous, it was a continuous struggle for survival. But God speaks of Caleb in the following manner when he denounced the 10 faithless spies. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherewith he went, and his seed shall possess it. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 24. Here was a man that was of a different spirit, and it certainly made a difference. Israel had left Egypt and had come to the southern borders of Canaan. Moses sent out 12 spies to view the land, and they were gone for 40 days, and they returned, and they gave their report. And this was the report that they gave. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. This is the report that we read in Numbers, the 13th chapter. The conclusion of most of the spies was, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, and there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Well, upon hearing this kind of report, the people murmured against Moses and Aaron. They said, "Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would we had died in this wilderness?" This fearful and faithless attitude is in deep contrast with the spirit of Caleb. Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Numbers 13 and verse 30. And this may well have been the finest hour of his life. But the people paid no attention to him and would have stoned him as well as Joshua, who stood with him. Caleb had a spirit, however, of faith in God. God had brought the people from Egypt to the promised land, as he said that he would. Israel had received God's provisions throughout their journey in the wilderness. The land was just as God said it would be, flowing with milk and honey. With God, taking the land was possible. Yea, it was certain. Now, Caleb did not minimize the size of the task, but like Paul said concerning Christ, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," Philippians 4 and verse 13. You see, Caleb trusted God. Friends, should not we imitate his faith? But Caleb also had courage, a spirit of courage. His courage was directly the result of his faith. Though the opponents were strong, even giants, and they had walled the cities, he was not afraid. Along with Joshua, he said, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Now, his courageous attitude was similar to that of David, which he expressed many years later. "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." This was when David was getting ready to go fight Goliath. David said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Today we must be mindful of the warning in Revelation 21 and verse 8, that among those that shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone are the fearful. The lack of courage to stand for what is right and against the wrong is not to be characteristic of us, dear people. We must never weaken and surrender to the evil world. But thirdly, Caleb had the spirit of cooperation. He said, "Let us go up." Not "let me do it" or "let you do it." "We are able to overcome it," he said. Working together, the task could be accomplished. Good men, working side by side for the common good and for a single goal, can accomplish wonders. There is strength in unity. United we stand and divided we fall. And this same attitude possessed the people of Judah under the leadership of Nehemiah when time came for the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. They said, "Let us rise up and build," Nehemiah 2 and verse 18. Caleb sought no power or rank or personal glory or gain. He wanted to cooperate with others and encourage others to cooperate. And today we must have the same attitude toward the work in which we are to do for the Lord. Hand in hand and heart with heart, we can do what God wants done. But also we see that Caleb had the spirit of optimism and enthusiasm. And this is evidenced in his words, "Let us rise up at once and possess it." He had the "we can" attitude. Friend, did you know, can't never could, but can? Caleb was burning with zeal. He wanted action. Now was the time. The task was before them, and his call was to the work. They can who think they can. There was no need to delay, but to go up at once. Success was theirs to have. They could possess the land. Delay was only destructive to them. Opportunity was knocking, and if unanswered, it will go right by them. Unfortunately, Israel did hesitate and deliberate and procrastinate, and they did not go up. They were not allowed to enter the land until another 40 years of long, arduous, weary wandering in the wilderness, and until death had overtaken all those 20 years old and older except for Joshua and Caleb. Certainly proper planning is necessary in tackling a work, but there eventually comes a time, dear friend, a time for action and a time for deeds. And if no action follows, then both optimism and enthusiasm will drain away and the opportunity will depart. Every Christian ought to have the attitude, "Let us be up and at it." But another attitude Caleb had was the spirit of total submission to the way of the Lord. God said of Caleb, "He hath followed me fully." What a commendation! Often a dreadful spiritual plague dominates and handicaps the life and service of many professed Christians. Indifference and lukewarmness and half-hearted service, sort of a partial service, service reserved obedience, why, that's not real obedience, and that's not the kind of service God wants. A religion of convenience is not a religion of conviction. Inconsistency, conflicts of interest are often evident, and the Lord is forced too many times to take a back seat and to take second best. There is not enough of the attitude that we sometimes sing, "All to Jesus I surrender." To follow God fully means to give God His way every day, every time, all the time, in whatever situation. Christianity is of such a nature that man cannot be a true disciple if he does not follow God fully. Since God gave His only begotten Son and He gave His life, why should we expect God to be pleased with us, with our devotion and worship and dedication and service and obedience, when it's stained with worldly pursuits and personal whims, blighted by our negligence and marred with an on-again, off-again, now-and-then kind of religion? Oh, the lesson of putting first things first and following the Lord fully is one that we all need to study. Jesus said, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Matthew 10, verse 39. But finally, we see Caleb had the spirit of patience and endurance because he had hope. Through no fault of his own, in fact, in spite of everything he could do to prevent it, Caleb was denied entrance into the promised land at that time. Because of the sins of others, he was subjected to the wilderness for 40 years. Such was a trial of personal stability and patience and the power to endure. There was the temptation to be discouraged and abandon the goal, to be sure. Just give up and quit with the attitude, "What's the use? Nobody cares." He could have become bitter, blaming his suffering on others. But throughout these 40 burdensome years, he never lost hope for himself or for Israel. Such a spirit is indispensable for today's servants of God as well. Jesus said, Matthew 10, verse 22, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Revelation 2, and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." This means, dear friend, we will be faithful not only until death, but faithful even if it means faithfulness means death. And now we draw a few conclusions. How much better and more dutiful servants of God we would be if we had the same spirit within us as was within Caleb. We need the spirit of faith and courage and cooperation and optimism and zealous enthusiasm. We need total fellowship and submission and patience and endurance with hope. And in this way we shall build better families, better communities, better congregations. This way we can make a significant contribution even to generations to come if time continues. Furthermore, regardless of others and their destiny, like Caleb, It will lead us to the eternal promised land of heaven. Is it not worth all that? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.